morning, brothers and sisters. It's so good, to see you guys. I'm Haynes, so you know, we would like to start today the last sermon series of the title, Multiplied. Can I get your attention for 30 minutes? I need your attention for 30 minutes, and this is a very important message that I'm going to share. When you think about growth is always the evidence of life. You plant a seed, it grows into a plant. When you have a small puppy, it grows to a big dog, and you have a baby at home, and she grows into an adult, and that's the way life works. And we are all living beings. As long as we live, we should be growing constantly. And Apostle Paul developed the metaphor using the stage in human growth and applied to the spiritual growth. And he repeatedly used life stage language to encourage spiritual growth. And this is how it looks. Using the same language in describing the discipleship process. As Christ followers, We are urged to grow constantly, from an infant to a child and to an adult and to a parent. In the past few weeks, we talk about spiritual infants. What is a spiritual infant? That is a professing Christian who does not know much about Christian faith. Just as babies need to do certain things to grow, they need the Word of God, and they should get into the habits of reading and understanding the Bible every day. That's what we talk about the first week. Second week, we also talk about spiritual child. The spiritual child is a disciple who has begun the process of life transformation to Christ-likeness. They're in the phase of getting more and more knowledge, and at the same time, put those knowledge into practice. We talk about the spiritual formation. We talk about the spiritual growth happens when the mind is being renewed by the Word of God. And last, topic more. Remember, the Word of God helps a spiritual child to put off the old self, renew his thinking, and then put on the new Christ-like self to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Apostle Paul used an example in Ephesians, a person who has been still no longer, which is put off his old self. And he got a job, work hard with his own hands, and he may have something to share with those who are in need. This is called renewal of his thinking and then put on a new Christ-like self. And then last week, we talked about spiritual adults. They are Christians with a strong desire for Jesus Christ to reign supremely in their lives. They are the spiritual adults, and they are progressing in the discipleship process. From infants who need to build a foundation of the Word of God to children whose lives have begun to be transformed by Jesus, and now adults whose wills and desires are being aligned with Jesus Christ. You know, this is what we call Christ is forming inside of them. Spiritual adults let the Word of God shape their inner beings until they are substantially like Jesus Christ, pervasively characterized by his thoughts, his feelings, his habits, and relationship with the Father. And this is what we call I am been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And in short, this is what we call the spiritual formation. However, is being a spiritual adult really our end goal of life? Not at all. Let me remind you once again what is a disciple. A disciple is not only a Christ follower who grows in Christ likeness, but also they produce Christ-like disciples. So being a Christ-like disciples will produce. And that's why we need all of you. And that's why we all of you should all be a spiritual parents one day to produce disciples. Today we are going to talk about we spent some time to talk about the spiritual parents. So what is a spiritual parent? A spiritual parent, it's someone who is intentional about living out the missions of raising disciples who can mix disciples. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So there are guides and there are fathers in Christ. Apostle Paul is so passionate about his role, not as a guy, but as a spiritual father who has a very special relationship with the church. He never shied away telling people, I am your father in Christ. Countless people will come in and out of your life on a short-term basis. And these may include some great speaker, wonderful speaker, or teachers. However, Apostle Paul sees these people as guys. While guys may be many and have a very important function, but their influence are very often very limited. Let me show you how Apostle Paul described spiritual parents in 1 Thessalonians 2:7-12. Verse 7, Thessalonians 2:7. It is like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. I'm telling you, a nursing mother will know, I'm sure you know, the sense of responsibility and the sense of attachment, it's just so strong with words, just can't describe it. She will do anything for her child. The differences between a guy and a spiritual parent or father is at heart of what it means to disciple someone, that is to nurture them as your own child. It is the relationship that makes a big difference between a guy and a spiritual parent. Verse 8. Look, Paul is so affectionately desirous of his own children. He loved them dearly. And he's not content to share the gospel with them. Paul even wants to give them his heart, but also himself. And he did. Verse 9, you can see Paul's dedications to his sons and daughters in Christ. He's willing to sacrifice and labor so that their needs might be fulfilled rather than his own. And you go on to verse 10 here, Paul tried to remind the Thessalonians about the kind of example he was among them. He was their role model. His life was holy, righteous, and blameless. Paul is so sure of his example he had that he even called God as his witness. While a guy is usually present in a short time, and in many cases, a very far away, a parent is always near and intimately involved in a person's life and in their child's life. His children can see and feel and touch his parent. A guy is like a guidebook for you getting a driver's license. It tells you the rules it follows. It teaches you the rules it follows. It gives you the rules it follows. Whereas the parents, they sit in your car. They sit with you. His life is on the line with you. And he's using all the same information that the guidebooks provides, such as when to use a brake, when to use a horn, and which speed you drive. And that's the parents. A parent's not only telling you what to do and what kind of rules that you need to follow, but also setting an example for you because you can see him driving up close and personal.
First Thessalonians 2, verse 11 and 12. For you to you know how, like a father with his children, we exalt each other, one of you, and encourage you and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdoms and glory. Paul basically said to the Thessalonian, you experience me all firsthand with each of you. We were like father with his child, holding your hands, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. A spiritual parent never let his sons or daughters walk alone. He will be with them through their success or through their failures. For sure, there will be times when spiritual parents give you like lots of encouragement to his child. And for sure, there will be times that he will let his child know what he's doing wrong. A spiritual parents may even execute authority as required to make sure his child will adjust his way and make it right. A spiritual parents also want to help his sons and daughters to grow up and walk in a manner worthy of their callings. The nature of spiritual parenting goes beyond sharing the truth. He, as a parent, invests a depth of relationship and love in the people he's discipling. It's this relationship that is at heart of the disciple making. I'll never forget the experience I have of being a father for the first time. Well, it's my wife, Joyce, and I had never been down that road before. Well, it's quite obvious, okay? It's first child, so you never down the road before. I remember I faithfully attend all the parental classes where I learned everything related to childbirth. And I even studied the book, the amazing parental books from the BC government. The title is amazing, Baby Best Chance. As if you don't read it, you know, that the chances of hurting him or hurting her is increasing. So, I remember that was on April 6, 2015. I thought it was a regular Monday checkup for Joyce. But out of nowhere, her blood pressure was unexpectedly high, and she needed to stay in the hospital and had an emergency operation. And at that moment, the reality hits me. I pressed the panic button. Yeah, we were going to have a baby. I was excited, but I wasn't ready. Even though I waited for so long. The challenge is I could not tell Joyce, hey, can I put you on hold for a few months? So that when I'm ready, I'm all for it. That's the challenge. That's not an option. So I bite my lips and press on, right? That's the thing. So even though you try very hard, try very best to learn as much as you can, it seems like I'm not ready to be a parent. I guess nobody will ever be 100% ready in the first place. Even now, Joyce and I was still feel very incompetent in raising Hannah. But I want to tell you one thing. Just listen. To become a parent is surely a catalyst to maturity. I'm telling you, it is the same as being a spiritual parent. It is a catalyst to be mature. Now, almost 3 years later, our baby girl Hannah is at a positive moment, learning her way to be a disciple of Jesus. And one day, I hope she will have the opportunity also to be a parent and prepare for the next generation. One thing I admire is these people have lots of kids.
in their homes. It's really hard, but you'll be excited. I admire Apostle Paul a lot. He has many, many spiritual sons and daughters. The way how Paul addressed to the Corinthians struck me. 1 Corinthians 4, 16, 17. I urge you then, be an imitator of me. What Paul is saying here, look, I am the one you should follow because I follow Christ. And you know, I'm not asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. And the stunning part is, that's why I send you Timothy, my beloved faithful child in the Lord, to remind you my ways in Christ. I, Paul, send you Timothy, which is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you my ways in Christ. What Paul is saying is that I want you to follow me. Okay? That makes sense? But I'm sending Timothy to you, and Timothy will bring you into remembrance of my ways. So when you see Timothy, you see how I live, how I walk, and my ways in Christ. That is amazing. I repeat one more time. When Paul wants you to be an imitator of me, wants you to be an imitator of me, I'm not going to be with you, or I'm not going to you. I'm sending my child, my son, to you, Timothy, so that you will see me, my way, how I live, and how I walk in Christ. This is amazing. Paul has raised Timothy as his spiritual son, that he, Timothy, could stand in his place. Christ is living through Paul, and Paul has raised and reproduced the same kind of life in Timothy. And Timothy is now going to Corinthia, mixed disciple, just as Paul did. It's really struck me. Intentionally about living out the missions of raising disciples who can make disciples. Paul is the extraordinary examples of intentionally living out the missions of raising disciples who can make disciples. Brother and sister, let me ask you a question. Will your face light up? Will your face light up when you see a cute little one walking through this door into this room right now? Will your face light up? Just imagine if Naomi or if Ariana or Danette, Iona or Chase, Karis or Hugo are running through this door into this room and just jumping like this. Will your face lights up when you see them? Will you? No? Are you sure? Some little ones, kill little ones. When I was preaching, somebody looking there, although it's boring, everybody get excited when you see the little ones. Do you think so? No? Are you sure? Am I missing something? See, look, you get the attention. Oh, thank you very much, Naomi. For me, yes, I will. I will. My face will light it up. You know, that's really normal, and this is really so natural for me. But you imagine, as they're running, as Naomi running into this room, all of a sudden, they're about to fall down, or they're about to hit the corner, Oh, Baal, they try to actually, well, they have some dangers. What will you do? Huh? Hold him. Or you give a shot. Hey, Nate, be careful. You don't just sit in around. Oh. You don't do this. You kind of like, you will shout, probably grab her or something, or do whatever you can to save her. That's normal. That's come natural. Brother and sister, I'm telling you one thing. The whisper, the urge to care or to protect the little ones, I believe it's built into our DNA. And it comes so natural to us that we want to help her. We want to really protect the person, the little ones. That is the urge that moves us to do more. Around 16, 17 years ago, I met this one young man. You're laughing now, but that's 16, 17 years ago. He came to the fellowships with Joyce, where Joyce was the counselor, just like our ex-leaders right now. So Crystal, Mimi, and Maggie. And this young man came along with a group of young people. Well, at first, nobody has a clue why they would join the fellowship, because, you know, look at their faith, look at him. Why they would want to join the fellowships. Well, later on, I find out, okay, just tell you off the record, but I'm telling you, find out why somebody tell them that our church has an open gym, so for free. So they that's the reason why they came. But that's not important. And most of the time, those guys was just standing on the side, observing when others were having fun and fellowships. However, you notice one thing. You notice when people start singing, this 16, 17-year-old young man was one of the few who tried to participate. This young man called himself Yang Bro. What's Yang Bro? In Chinese, like Si Dai, you know. That which really means the youngest, the lowest brother. It's so funny when you look back, when brothers and sisters came and asked them to play a game or participate in certain programs, this young group of gangsters, I have to really reword. So this young group, this young group of young men will send this little bro, Liang Bro, as a messenger to say something like, not for now, you know. We have something important to talk about and discuss in a moment. We will join you later on. That's funny, right, when you laugh. To be very honest with you, I was not impressed. Personally, I suspect they came to church just to get a girlfriend or something. Do you think so? You feel that way, huh? Well, I was wrong. They came because of basketball, okay, so you know. This group of young men look like a bunch of bad guys and gangster to me. I don't like them. I'd rather not to have them in our youth fellowship because I believe and I suspect they would be the bad influence. This is me. However, I was very frustrated. I was very, very frustrated by the attendance. They rarely miss one fellowship night. To be fair, they did not make any troubles at all, and they came out to our fellowship weeks after weeks after weeks. How can I stop them? I cannot stop them. That's the problem. I was very frustrated, to be honest. To make a very long story short, even though they look and act so differently, we have a bunch of people in our fellowship reach out to them. And the gospel message was so powerful that the good news touched and changed their life. These so-called gangsters all became the disciples of Jesus in less than a year. As far as I know, all of them are still keeping the faith today. All the glory to him, Lord. Give the glory, give a hand somehow. But today, I want to focus on the story of this young man, the young bro. And around 11 years ago, This young man came to me one night after attending a local revival, and his soul was awakened by the love of God. He poured out his heart and told me that he had a burning desire deep inside of him that he just can't shake off. He told me he knew that he can do much more for Christ, and he wanted to commit to follow Jesus deeply. Well, I believe it was not a coincidence. It was that time, the same time when Joyce and I decided to dedicate our life to plan and build a community of disciples on a mission to make disciples in Greater Vancouver. So at the same time when he said he wanted to change and become a real Christ follower, I was really shocked. We have a very long chat in my house that night. I share my thoughts, I share my visions, and most importantly, I share my callings to him. He was full of tears, but you could still see from his eye, he has a strong and commitment. I truly feel I had to help this young man to become a disciple of Jesus. Brother and sister, that is that urge. That is that whisper, what I'm talking about earlier. What I'm talking about, that's the DNA. See, it comes so natural. You want to help him. You want to help this young bro to become a disciple of Jesus. I never thought of being a spiritual parent, but I followed my heart and my urge. That night, I'm glad I did. So I invited him to join me and a group of committed Christ followers to build a church in Greater Vancouver to make disciples and to be the salt and light of this world. It was a very, very long journey. For the first few years, he struggled a lot. He found it very difficult to deal with his bad habits and his former destructive lifestyle. He was good for a period of time, but he fails times after times. I really have to recognize and learn as a spiritual parent, sometimes a child like him may grow slowly. In many occasions, he frustrated me. He fouled up and he had a hard time learning from his own mistakes. I had to humble myself and ask the Lord, please, give me more patience, give me more patience. Brothers and sisters, it's definitely not easy to be a parent. Spiritual parent. In order to raise a son or a child, it's actually a calling for us to be a devoted, loving parents, willing to labor and toil and to be a blessing rather than a burden and to sacrifice for the good of the spiritual child we're trying to raise. This means I had to make lots of sacrifice for his sake, spend time, spend money, and even wore myself out from time to time for him. Little by little, this young man began to change. He was slowly transformed by the Word of God, and through serving the Lord, he learned to be faithful. And you can see him now dedicating his life to the Lord wholeheartedly. A few years ago, he became one of our core leaders at Koinonia. And now this young man has begun his own journey to become a spiritual parent, preparing for our next generations. It's right there. Just remember how God is always bigger and stronger than we ever think of him. Let me remind you, once again, what is a disciple? A disciple is a Christ follower who grows in Christ's likeness and produces Christ-like disciples. We are all called to be a disciple, and we are called to be the agency to the birth of many disciples. The book of Ephesians gives us a glimpse on how we, in different spiritual growth stage, are able to come, able to contribute in making disciples. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And he, Jesus Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers for building up the body of Christ to grow in every way into him, who is the head, from whom the whole body joined and helped together when each part is working properly, making the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. We are all joined and held together to build up the body of Christ in love. Everybody in Christ, regardless of our spiritual growth stage, will have a part. And we have to make sure, just like Paul said, our part is working properly, and we need your output, brothers and sisters. To those who are spiritual infants, I have a few words for you. If you are, some of you may be a spiritual infants at this point. Brother and sister, you may feel that you are an outsider because you are just an infant. Let me tell you, please. First, lay a firm foundation on the Word of God. That's important. But that's more. You can contribute to the kingdom by your active participation in setting up the positive culture of worship. Remember this young man. Remember him. When he first came to church, he saw peoples around him singing praises to the Lord. And this young man participated in the act of worship. It is those brothers and sisters, including lots of spiritual babies at time, who set up the right kind of culture and atmosphere for him. You own a part of his transformation. You own a part of his discipleship process. Please, please, actively participate in setting up the positive culture of worship. To those who are spiritual child, put everything you learned from the Word of God into practice. You have just begun the process of life transformation. Please allow the Lord to use you to be an agency, to be his agency of gospel. Remember those people in the fellowships who reach out to the group, that group of young people? I'm telling you, that time, most of them were just young believers that back then. But through their fellowship, but through their testimonies, the gospel message was able to penetrate to the life of those strange and young men. Isn't it amazing? Everyone take part and everyone contributes. And to those who are spiritual adults at the moment, please let the Word of God shape your inner beings. And be sensitive. Be sensitive to the urge of your hearts. Be fully open to the Lord. Remember, you will never be able to be 100% ready to be a spiritual parent, but being one will surely be the catalyst of your spiritual maturity. Whenever God calls, he provides. Whenever God demands, he supplies. Spiritual adults, if you're in that stage, step up to become the spiritual parents raising disciples. And to those who are now spiritual parents, be humble. Be humble and to learn and to grow even more while discipling others.
there must be more for you. There must be more. And please also be sure to value and align with the church and accomplish the missions and multiply. And that's what we call. That's what we are called. Brother and sister, what if everyone at Koinonia become a spiritual parent, intentionally living out the missions of raising disciples who can make disciples? Imagine what will happen in a city of Richmond, Vancouver, Burnaby, or Surrey. What would happen? What would happen if everyone, a spiritual parent, what would happen in your workplace, in your home? What would happen? Imagine. I'm sure our home, I'm sure our workplace, I'm sure our city that we live will definitely become a better place. Let's picture this. Thy will be done in Vancouver as it is in heaven. Let's picture this. Thy will be done in your place, your home, as it is in heaven. Picture this. Our Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sister, can you let's rise? We want to have a word of prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, and this is your command. This is your command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that you have commanded us. And behold, you are with us always to the end of ages. Jesus, you are called. You have called and invite all of us, we disciples, to be a part of your great commission, Lord. You have even destined each and every one of us to share your love, spread your words, and multiply. And this is the mission that Jesus, you left for us, and it is what we want to be, find doing when you return. Please help, Lord. Please help us, Lord, to accomplish the mission. In the name of Jesus, we pray.